is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
3 minutes after 4 across Merseyside, I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time and I am joined by two of the most knowledgeable heads in the world of rugby league. Why, pray tell? Because things are about to get even more interesting. Just when you thought the Leeds drama at the start of the year was going to be the big story in Super League, just when you thought Salford were destined to play in the Championship next year, and just when you thought Hull were destined to play in the Super League final, everything changed. I'm joined by Steve Manning and also for some reason Dave's name has completely popped out of my head just as I opened my mouth. Dave Parkinson joins me as well
here. Oh, very good.
On Radio City Talk. This happens every time I get sitting in a seat, look someone in the eye and I go, what's your name gone? How has your name popped out of my head?
So Dave Parkinson
and also Steve Manning join me as well. Lads, you could not have written the last even 7 weeks of Super League. It has just been mind-blown.
It has. Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, Saints were written off 7-8 or even longer before. Wigan were written off as being boring. They've only got one sort of game. They've not got an earthly of getting to a grand final, especially after they spawned at least a point when they were at home to Widnes and got beat. Salford, they were the doom and gloom. Nobody were backing them. Everybody was saying they were going down. They'd been badly treated. And basically, there wouldn't be a Championship side would get promoted. But it, what a fantastic finale and what brilliant theatre last weekend, Dave.
Absolutely superb. I mean, to be honest as well, I mean, I think I was one of the ones that was bagging Wigan and they've just...
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, Dave. Yeah,
don't worry, we will say that and much more in a second, right? So coming up on the show this afternoon, we're going to have a look back at Warrington against St Helens. We'll also look at Wigan against Hull from last weekend and Hull KR against Salford City. Wow. And then we look ahead to Warrington Wolves against Wigan Warriors in the first utility Super League final, which is happening on Saturday at Old Trafford. Lads, few headlines coming in this afternoon, as per usual. Now, this is going to start now because the people are the team that was not the recipient of the big win during the £1 million game means that some of the players, the Hull KR players, for example, are now out of contract. This is the rule. We talked about it last week, whether it's the right rule or it's the wrong rule from a purely mental health perspective, it's quite tough for players to deal with the fact that they're no longer, even if it's only for a brief period of time, professional rugby players because they're getting demoted to the Championship. Hull KR prop James Green is leaving the club and joining Lee Centurions on a 2-year contract from 2017. The 25-year-old forward rejected a new deal offered by the Robins earlier this season and he's now going to join Super League newcomers Lee next season. Dave, is this Lee sending out a statement straight away to say we're here and we're here to stay because it's flipping taking us long enough to get here?
I think you're right there, to be honest, Connor. I think that the way that they've gone about the recruitment so far, because he's just one of four players that they've announced over the space of the week so far, he's a good solid Super League player. He's been around the league for about 3 or 4 years now, I feel. He's also done time in the Championship as well, building up spells on loan. I think that he is a really good player. He's unfortunately been injured for much of the campaign that they've had in the eights for Hull Kingston Rovers, so I don't think anybody's really seen him for about 2 months, but let's hope he's fighting fit for next season.
Steve, Jamie Peacock came out to say it's disappointing that he won't be staying at the club. We offered him a new long-term contract at this level that we felt was fair within our squad. From his point of view, he was given an opportunity to join Lee and we understand his reasons for moving on. Do you understand his reasons for moving on, and is Lee much more of a better prospect than Hull at the moment? Hull KR, that is.
Well, it is now because, first of all, Lee are in Super League and Hull KR aren't. But in relation to that, I think it was a done deal a lot earlier than, as it were, since the £1 million game. The series rumour squad, as Dave's a member or is privy to all this information that we get, he was going he is going, and I think it's a great sign. He's a young sign. And like Dave said this last week, they've drip-fed three, four signings, haven't they? Including a young kid from who was started at Wigan. He went to Warrington, like old Dave Thompson, who I know through watching him when he was a kid. And then you've got that they signed Atelier Villa from St. Helens, who is one quality hombre.
But what type of finances do Lee have? Do Lee have the finances to go head-to-head with the big boys? Is this what they're saying? And I know it's not about finances because I get a little bit tired with even us talking about it every week, but it's an important point towards this part of the season.
Well, I think Mr. Beaumont's putting his money where his mouth is. So he's continuing the same sort of structure and the same sort of investment that he has done over the last couple of years, with the added bonus that he can now spend up to the Super League salary cap, which the rules were changing anyway come the end of the season. So basically, if you could get the income or guarantee it, you could spend up to 1.65 million, I think, anyway, on your squad. So I would imagine that due to the largesse of Mr. Beaumont, things are going to be happening at Lee.
Mm. And I think also the fact is that, all right, Jerrick is putting his hand in his pocket for some of these purchases, and perhaps even some more purchases that may well get announced after the grand final. But he also gets a larger amount of Sky money because they're in the promised land. Instead of probably something like 800,000 last year, yeah, they'll get 1.6, 1.8 million, won't they?
To be fair, when Lee finished bottom of the eights last season, they got 450,000, I think. So now they've gone into Super League, they'll get the 1.25 million. That's a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that Lee are going to be that side this year that everyone's going to be watching for many different reasons. Mainly from afar, people are going to go, oh, can they do this? Is this going to happen? And those within the club are going to say, listen, we are going to do this. No matter what it takes, we're not dropping out of this league. It's taken us long enough to get there, as I said at the start of this. Right, every single week here we seem to talk about another international rugby league player who is moving from country to country and maybe calls into that country for a cup of tea once, plays two internationals with them, gets a plane to see his cousin in a different country, ends up playing a couple of internationals for them. And we're not quite sure, even after all this time doing this show, where we stand on this. Wales international Tyson Frizzell has been included in Australia's squad for the Four Nations, right? He is a second row, made 5 appearances for Wales and featured in the 2011 Four Nations and the 2013 World Cup. He was born in Wollongong in Australia. The 24-year-old qualifies to play for Wales due to his Swansea-born father. So this is slightly different than the naturalisation rule that is available depending on how long you play in each country. He was left out of the Wales squad for the 2017 World Cup qualifiers with Serbia and Italy in October after telling coaches he was unavailable for selection. So, a bit of a sour taste from a Wales perspective, or will Wales pat him on the back and say, listen, you're going to one of the big two or three?
I think there'll be a little bit of that in John Kerr's mind, because John Kerr has helped to get him to where he is today as an international, albeit that he's playing his rugby league in the NRL. And it's just another of these anomalies where they've got, in theory, that much playing talent in Australia. They can just do that. But if it's no disrespect to Wales and John Kerr, if it's a case of do you want to play for Wales or Australia, you'd always pick playing for Australia. But I do find it wrong.
But you're saying there now that they have a lot of rugby talent in Australia. The NRL is amazing, as we've discussed on the show many times. It's more than double the salary cap, and you know they're going to get played well looked after. These are players who particularly can have a good career for 12, 15 years and almost retire, unlike a lot of the players here in the UK. But if they have such a great batch of players, why are they taking players who are members of other national teams, Dave?
I think that at risk of sounding controversial, Australia always look after number one, so they always want best players. So they'll probably have been cherry picking and thinking, all right, okay. Because I mean, they did it as well with Jared Hayne, didn't they, back in the day? Because
that Fijian, who
went to
Fiji,
play for Fiji, then went to playing for Australia. So they've got previous for it, haven't they?
And went to play American football as well.
He did, yeah. He's done a whole range of things, hasn't he? I wonder what he's going to be doing next year, out of interest. But
that's a few stories.
Semi Red staying on the Fijis. See, now we spoke about it earlier on in the weeks and months, that Sammy Radrada, who's a Fijian, played for Fiji, played on the World Cup in a different surname. He got picked into the Australia side for the game against New Zealand, yet didn't get picked for the state of origin, where they use that as a selection, as a trial to get into the national side. And he played that game for them. And he's not in the squad because of legal circumstances that he's got to.
I don't know what it is. It just sits very uneasy with me. I suppose, coming from a football perspective, and you know, although at the moment there seems to be a little shaking and moving within international football, but that's, I think, down to political reasons more than anything else in some countries as well. And my background, coming from an Irish background and a Gaelic football background, you played for the county you were born in, if you were deemed good enough. Occasionally, some players cross over if they move to a different county and the set up there and you can prove it. But generally, you know, you play for where you're born, literally within 10, 15, 20 miles. That's where the training area is. You do that. It just sits a little bit uneasy with me, but I know it sits uneasy with some people as well. And finally, you had your predictions for this over the last couple of weeks. Big smile on your face. Danny Houghton has become the first Hull FC player to win the Super League Steve Prescott Man of Steel Awards, right? The 28-year-old hooker was adjudged by fellow players to have made the biggest impact in this season's competition. Dave, all I can say about Houghton is, what a tackle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to sum up his season, isn't it? Just that one tackle, just that 2 seconds of work. Forget all the other thousand and odd tackles that he's made over the course of the season. But it's well deserved, I feel, for Danny Houghton, because he's often heralded for the way that he defends and the fact that, you know, he's a leader because of that defensive quality that he has. But I think this season he's built on his attack, and that attack has been underrated for a long time, and now they've got the right personnel at Hull. He's really stepped out of the shadow, and I you know, vastly agree with it, to be honest. I would like to have seen Chris Hill up there on the award list as well, in fairness, because I think Chris, again, just keeps getting better and better. But no, I agree with Danny Houghton getting that award.
Steve, you were very complimentary about Houghton, not only in the Challenge Cup final, but also throughout the season. Defensively, as a leader, there were times that Hull FC were down, almost out, and he dragged them back by the scruff of the neck. Is it warranted and is it deserved?
I think it is. He deserves it on merit, as much as anything, for what Dave just alluded to. But he is a class player, and he gets better and better and better. And his tackle count over the last few years has been phenomenal. I think he's been the top tackler, which and then to do all that, plus get the ball and pass it out and then make the drives and make the decision, and he gets them up to that little bit level when they need it. Fortunately, he didn't do it on Friday, albeit that at one stage it looks as if he could have been involved in a sensational comeback by Hull FC. But he's a class act, and he's underrated. You would like to think that he will be in that squad for England come the Four Nations.
Is this going to be another one of those club versus country things? Because he's had such a hard, long season, right? He has literally put his body on the line, and specifically after the semi-final results, which I suppose many people didn't expect, the Wigan Hull result, he's going to be exhausted, and this comes fresh on the back of that. Where do you stand on this? Because the Four Nations has been and may possibly be deemed as almost a secondary rugby league competition. What about those players who are just empty at the moment? Should they be feeling that it's pride and passion and go and play for your country, or should they be given a break? As we've alluded to before, they're not paid that much. You know, they're not paid to the Premier League standard. Should they deserve a break?
I suppose they do, but if you get that call up, you've been selected to be in the squad to play for your country.
Canada,
no matter
or
what
New Zealand,
country.
Or England, or Australia, or New Zealand, depending which one wants you at the time.
Well, yeah, but I think he's just a true Hull person. I don't know what the adjective is for that. But the problem he has got, he's had such a fantastic season. He's going to be up against Darryl Clark, who's playing on Saturday for Warrington Wolves. He's also going to be up perhaps against James Roby. And the biggest shot to me, an Australian that I've harped on about him, Josh Hodgson, who I thought would get the Dally M, which is their equivalent of the Man of Steel. He got fifth place, and to me, he's the form hooker. So now we've got four hookers going really for predominantly just two positions in what's going to probably be a 24-man squad. But he is a class act, and like I say, no matter whether it be whatever country, if you get the opportunity, you want to play for the country, whichever one it might be, as we have these days.
Gareth Ellis and Denny Solomona, second and third respectively. What do you think they've deserved, or did they have much of a chance?
I think in comparison, I don't think they did stand much of a chance, but I've always rated Gareth Ellis. I know that he was very highly respected for his spell that he did down under, where I think he was player of the year at West Tigers for about 2 or 3 years running. You know, so he's always been that workhorse. Denny Solomon is a bit of a funny one because, yes, he's been finishing a lot of tries. I mean, the guy's been phenomenal.
The score rate this year has been through the roof.
He's been brilliant, you know, 41, 42 tries over the course of the season. So, yeah, you always think there's a bit of it. But I always think that Man of Steel should always go to a forward.
The actual name, I was just going to say that. The actual name, Man of Steel, right? Yeah. It isn't called Man of Who Scored the Most Tries.
No.
It is Man of Steel for the sport that's in it. Right, coming up in a bit, we are going to be chatting to Steve and Dave about what happened happened last weekend. There was so many things we could pick out of last weekend that we never expected. Steve Manning going to be a little bit happier than I suspected he would be with Wigan marching on into the grand final. Dave, who would have thought we were saying that this time?
I know.
4 or 5 weeks ago. We'll also be talking to Mickey Higham. He has played for both Warrington Wolves and Wigan Warriors. We'll give him a buzz very shortly. And in front of me, I have got Eddie and Steve-O. It's been grand, now it's final. Eddie Hemming and Mike Stevenson's new, I won't say autobiography, it's kind of it's more of a, what would you call it? Is it an ode to rugby league?
I think it's an ode to rugby league and the fact that Steve always commentating on his last game this weekend, hence the clever title that they've come up with. And it's, I think, fascinating stories of that they're going to tell or what they've told in relation to that experience of working together, because Steve brought out an autobiography about 5 years ago.
So it says, it's been grand. The two veteran commentators tell a story of how their on-screen partnership was formed through a chance meeting and they relate many of their tales of adventure, mayhem, mishap and success in their days from B-Sky B through to Sky TV now at the moment. Well, listen, you can actually go and get your hands on this. If you get down to Kendallworth's bookshop in St Helens, they have a limited number of signed copies of this book by Eddie and by Steve-O as well. But I tell you what we have. I have a copy of said book right in front of me at the moment. And I'll tell you what, if you want to win it, just pick up the phone, 0151 708 1059. Just pick up the phone, give me a buzz. We will get your details. We will pick somebody between now and 5 o'clock and we'll send the book out to you. So it's Eddie and Steve-O. It's grand, but now it's final. And on the front of it, it just looks like it says it's grand final as we head towards the big grand final weekend. 0151 708 1059. If you want to win it, give us a call and the book is yours.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
4:24 across Merseyside, Rock Sport and Talk for Liverpool. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time and we are in touch as we are every single Thursday afternoon. Dave Parkinson joins us today and also my regular rugby league expert contributor and shocking handsome man, Steve Manning, joins me as well. Gentlemen, we just have to set straight into this here. Let's just not hold back anymore because we were teasing some of the big rugby league news just before the break there, but it's just so interesting what happened last week. Warrington Wolves 18, St Helens 10. A Saints side who we thought would and could and should carry the momentum on into the game. Half-time, they're 2 points up. Saints were looking for their 8th successive win at Warrington. And then all of a sudden, Daryl Clark, Stephen Ratchford and co. just kicked into action with about 10 minutes to go.
They did. Unfortunately, you could say that, and I always say it, Eric, I think I mentioned it, we don't want any video referee decisions or referee decisions.
I was going to try. Hold on.
I know what you're going to say.
Don't bring that in. No. Bring it in by all means, and we'll chat about it in a second. Right, but hold on. I'm giving three. In fact, I'll also give, Kurt Gidley a mention here as well. I'm giving them all the kudos that they deserve, right? Let's talk about the mistakes, the potential mistakes that were made, first of all, but because these people, you can't blame any of these three et al. For what happened.
No, I'm not saying that.
So we'll talk about that in a second. So right. let's keep it positive for a bit, right? So let's talk about why. We're going to have to talk about this video ref if I keep going like this.
We can't come away from it. It's dominant, rightly or wrongly. I don't like talking about it. Believe it or not, I don't get a buzz out of it. What I want is a game of rugby league where you don't see the referee, you don't see the video referee. It's just that they don't have any say in what the decisions of how that game goes. And you could say whichever way you want to go.
Okay, well,
they had a bearing on it.
Okay, kudos to the three boys first. Okay, well done, lads. Pat you in the back.
Yeah.
Let's move on to this. Right, so tell me what happened in layman's terms. What happened with the video referee? And have St Helens got the right to be absolutely ripping?
Well, Kieran Cunningham was very tactful, but basically, Tom Larnagle's in the corner. What a comeback to the game he's been. And it looks on normal look, it looks like a try. But when they slow it down, it appears that he didn't have all the control of the ball when they score, but by that time they've given the try. On the other side of it, Dominic Peru drives for the line, and it appears from camera angles, and in my opinion, that he's scored, he'd got it somewhere on the line, but the referee disallows that. So if you turn the differential away, it could have been a hell of a lot closer. Warrington perhaps
just about did deserve to win. And Kurt Gidley, that tackle that he did on the Saints forward, I think
it was Louis McCarthy Scarsborough.
Was it on LMS?
Yeah.
It was one hell of a tackle. We're talking about the Danny Orton tackle.
Mm.
And Kurt Gidley, that was the Kurt Gidley tackle, and that probably helped them to get the momentum to make sure they won. Fair play, they won, they're at the final, but could it have been a lot closer, but for those, so, we don't know.
So, say you have the, it just is, it's a four-point twist, isn't it? It goes to 14 all, yeah. if that's given. So, Dave, two questions, right? Are Warrington, from what they've done this season, right, are they worthy of their place in the final? And second question is, how did you see it?
Well, first of all, yes, Warrington deserve everything that they're getting this season. I think they've been tremendous. Their attacking nature is second to none. But it's also the way that they've hung into games and they've eked out results when they've had to. From the second point of view, I actually thought this was a really good game. I think tech the video referees out of it just for a second, and Warrington deserved to win that game anyway, because I thought they put the more momentum into it. Everything else was going for them. But I do take into account what Steve was saying, and I'm of the opinion that we've gone too far with video referees. Let's kick him out.
So how have we gone too far? How has it not worked? Because it is 99.9999% reliable and active. What happened to this 0.0111%? So what happened? And there were two separate incidents in this that created the difference here. How did that happen, and how have Rugby League allowed that to happen, Steve?
I think what they've done, they've changed the term of reference of how you get to the decision, whether it's a try or not a try. They've changed it from last year to how they did it then. And myself and Dave were talking about it before we started the programme. Perhaps they should go and do it as they do it in the 15-a-side code, which is a little bit different. Dave's explained it to me. I did switch off when he started mentioning that.
Right, Dave, you've got 54 seconds before Adam has to read the sport, so see if you can clear it up for me, right?
Right, I can be quite succinct on this. Basically, in rugby union, when they go to the video referee, they say, is there any reason why I cannot give this try?
Okay.
And that's it. So then they look at everything. At the moment in rugby league, the referee on field gives the decision. So he says that's a try or that's a no try. So they've got to then disprove or find some contrary evidence which suggests it should be the other way about.
And with the little box signal the referees give, as if to say we're going up to the match officials, are they getting that in their ear to say, listen, you have to come up to me? Or is this down to the referees and referees only, like the 15 aside code?
That I'm not 100% sure on, to be honest. I would imagine that.
Even asking that question shows there is a little bit of...
To me, the referee has to make a decision. Either there, point down, try, or if he's not sure,
so,
in this new criteria.
For anybody who didn't see the game, the Warrington Saints game, did he use the video ref on both occasions?
No, just used it for the Dominic Peyrou no try.
Right, okay, so that is the disparity that we're talking about there. And you know what, you did that in exactly 56 seconds, right? Dave's joining me. Steve is with me as usual. You're listening to In Touch on Radio City Talk. We're talking through all the Rugby League talking points from last week. We talked about Warrington Wolves against St Helens, Wigan Warriors against Hull FC. Only Dave is going to be able to talk about that in a second, because I think it would be one-sided, Steve Manning. Perhaps. We'll find out in a second. Let's get the sports first with Adam Phillips.
This is Radio City Talk Sport.
Seamus Coleman's urging James McCarthy to play through the pain barrier tonight. The Everton midfielder has been out of action since August due to a groin injury. The Republic of Ireland have 8 players missing as they face Georgia, though. And Coleman says it would be great if McCarthy could feature.
For myself, if I'm fit and I'm not feeling any niggles, no problems, and I've no concerns, I'll play, whether that's for Ireland or Everton, and there's no complications or big dramas about it. If I'm fit, I'll play, and that's how it should be.
Sticking with tonight's internationals, and Ashley Williams has shrugged off suggestions that Wales were lucky at Euro 2016. They faced Austria tonight in Vienna with their coach Marcel Koller saying they were fortunate to reach the semi-finals. Chris Coleman's side went out to winners Portugal in France. Williams says it's no big deal.
We're not too fussed what people say, and you know, people say that all the time in our line of work, and you know, we just get on with what we've got to get on with, really, and let other people do the talking.
Shrewsbury have confirmed today that Mickey Mellon has left the club by mutual consent, as he looks to be on the verge of joining Tranmere. Rovers' pre-match press conference was due to take place today, but that's now been cancelled. But Tranmere midfielder Mitch Duggan says he's not concerned by matters off the pitch.
It doesn't really bother me, to be honest. I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing, and whoever it may be under, then I just have, like I said, I have to keep doing what I'm doing. It doesn't unsettle me, but I've got no say in it, really.
The International Tennis Federation has rejected Maria Sharapova's claims that it wanted to make an example of her. She said the panel that handed her initial two-year ban for failing a drugs test wasn't neutral. The ITF says Sharapova's legal team agreed to the appointments. The Russian suspension's been reduced to 15 months by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. She can play again in April. And finally, in rugby league, Warrington have named Chris Sandow in their 19-man squad for Saturday's Grand Final. The Wolves take on Wigan at Old Trafford for Super League's most coveted prize. Ryan Bailey and Brad Dwyer are also in the mix. That's the latest.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
4:32 across Merseyside. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to In Touch, our weekly discussion and insight as to what's happening in the world of rugby league. Adam, stay there for a second. What was that final story you had there in the news?
Oh, that Chris Sandow's been named in Warrington squad.
Lads, what do you reckon?
If he's fit, he should be in it, but I'd pick Dak Patton.
Really?
I think he's been fantastic. Yeah. You stick with a winning team.
Dave?
I think it's a big call, yeah, but big games call for big players, and certainly Sandow's one of those.
Right, we'll discuss that in a bit. We'll be discussing that with Mickey Hyam later on as well. Adam, thank you. We'll see Adam here at 5:30 this evening for more sport, and of course at 5 o'clock as well, as he brings you the news breaking across Merseyside. Right, coming up in a bit, we're going to be talking to Mickey Hyam, who's played for both Warrington and for Wigan as well, but... Okay, Steve, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have a little chat about this. As a Wigan fan, right, I have berated you throughout the season that Wigan aren't good enough, aren't strong enough, don't have the depth, don't have the talent, and they won't get to the final. I was wrong.
Well, you'll be berating me again because I'll be smiling next Thursday and you'll be eating humble pie.
Why do you think, do you genuinely... We'll talk about it in a second about the actual grand final because I don't want to give away all our treats just between now and the end of the show because I'm going to get just to predict it in a bit. I get the feeling I know where you're going to go with your prediction. But how did Wigan overcome a Hull FC side who looked like they couldn't be stopped? Wigan, fourth successive grand final. Hull were 14-0 up at one stage and then all of a sudden Wigan decided to start playing.
No, it's the other way about.
Sorry, I beg your pardon, okay. The other way around, yeah. And then they decided to start playing, yeah.
Well, I think one of the significant factors, and we don't like to talk about injuries, Gareth Ellis was missing, who we've been giving big raps to. Wigan had a couple of players missing, but those particular players have been missing for the back end of the season as such, and Sam Tompkins hasn't been his old self. Basically, Wigan were absolutely superb, and the defining factor was they were 8-0 up, and Martin Smith went for a drop goal. I know we're going to be talking about them in a bit. And it wasn't the world's best, but it bounced off, I think it was Danny Horton, into John Bateman's hands. And he went under the post on half-time. 14-0 up. We're thinking, oh, it's OK. Well, I'm thinking it's all right, this. But then Hull hit back with two quick-fire tries. Then we had another controversial try, which will not... I don't know, I'm not talking about it. I'll leave that to Dave. But then all of a sudden...
Funny enough, he doesn't want to talk about the controversial tries regards to his own side, but he'll talk about them when Wigan or St Helens are involved.
Well, the reason is you might think I'm biased, won't you? So,
imagine that.
So basically then, they go... Wigan go 16-12 up, then it's 18-16 for them because of this try. And the atmosphere was fantastic. And then... I'm thinking, Wigan aren't going to win this. Then the last 10 minutes, they get a lucky try or brilliant, expansive rugby, go under the post.
Hold on a second.
And then,
you've just done it again.
And then Gelling scores the winner.
They've got a lucky try or because of great, expansive rugby. It's pick one. It's lucky or it's great. Which
well, he
one?
Flicks it out. He flicks it out.
Which one is it, great or lucky?
Great, because okay. It's a Wigan try.
It was a speculator.
But the atmosphere, I mean... It was tense, it was fantastic, it was end-to-end rugby league, and the result was in doubt until Gelling went in, I think, with a minute left. And he was the man of the match. He got a bit excited with what he said and had his wrist slapped. He did a bit of a Louis McCarthy that Louis McCarthy did at the Grand Final, but it was fantastic theatre. Great atmosphere, deserved a bigger crowd, but unfortunately there was only...
Why wasn't that a bigger crowd?
They were thinking, you know, it was a semi-final, but whether they were thinking, well, we've got a final, we've got to fork out for tickets for that. If you're all FC, they brought about 1,000 over. They'd been to Wembley. If they'd have got to the final, it's more expense.
Yeah.
And I know it's wrong, but it deserved a full house. It wasn't, but what a great game.
Dave, Hull FC, sort of petering out towards the tail end of the season. I think if you were taking money on Hull FC a couple of weeks ago as a bookie, you would have been slightly nervous because they looked like that they were on the way to doing this magnificent double, but it just didn't happen. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't see Wigan beating them specifically by this much.
No, I mean, I have to admit, I thought, first of all, it's a great game. I think that we concentrate too much at times on mentioning low crowd figures and such like, when we should be talking up the game, really, in a lot more respects.
Right, you have 40 seconds, fantastic. Because we have something fantastic to talk about in 40 seconds that I'm really looking forward to talking about.
But, you know, having said that, you're right, Hull have sort of petered out over the course of this past 6 or 7 weeks. There's always almost like a Wembley hoodoo which seems to haunt sides these days. When they go to Wembley, they win the cup and yet they can't seem to get it together. But yeah, if I was a betting man, I would have lost my money.
Wigan deserving of being there?
Very much so, yeah. They dominated that first half. They were really, really good. And then, you know, although Hull fought back, that you could basically say Wigan had that game for 50 minutes, Hull had it for 30.
Right, last week I berated, I joined with some of the other rugby league names, fraternities, teams and managers and said that the £1 million games was a waste of time. I said that it was a disaster and that it's not good for the sport. And then up popped Salford City, more specifically, up to pop Mr. O'Brien and his right boot. How do we describe this? Right, first of all, Dave, for anybody who didn't see it, talk me through exactly what happened specifically in the last, was it 4.5 minutes of the game?
Yeah, well, Hull Kingston Rovers, they're leading 18 points to 10. They kick a 40-20, which means they get the ball back from the scrum. And you're thinking, just work it in, they'll get this game. But then there's two breakout tries, which Salford come up with. Great bits of skill, lovely handling involved, such momentum, such skill, such bravery. Two tries, all of a sudden it's 18-all. It's heading into extra time.
It literally goes 18-all and then it's like, right, time is up. You have got one go at this. And again, it was Gareth O'Brien who got the opportunity to convert a conversion as the last kick of the game to win it if he wanted for Salford.
Yeah, and he fluffed his lines. So, but it's still level and you're thinking, oh, there's so much drama that's in this game. You can feel it. It's coming through your television screen at you if you're watching it. I don't dare to think what it must have been like at the ground. I think I would have been chewing my nails, I think, had I been there. And I don't have any affinity with either of these sides. It was just fantastic spectacle, almost gladiatorial, I suppose, in the way that they went at each other. And then it goes into extra time.
Golden score.
You're thinking Salford's coming out of the half quite steady as she goes, really. It ends up on the last tackle, going to Gareth O'Brien. You think, oh, he's just going to boot this downfield. From virtually the halfway line, he looks up, he drops a goal. It's far better than anything Wilkinson come up with in 2003.
Oh, easy tagger.
Good lad.
Mr. Manning, can I ask you, is that the greatest comeback ever and is that the greatest drop goal in the history of British Rugby League?
I would say of the current era, yes, it was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, you have to remember, you've seen more eras than we have. You've seen two or three eras at your age.
I'm not going to bite. The biggest decision that worked on that particular game when it was level was that Michael Dobson won the toss and decided that they would take the ball, but they would have the wind behind them. There was a strong wind, and when it hit it, it probably got the momentum of the wind, and it went over. And the irony of ironies, they scored that and won it. And then earlier on in the season, they played Salford, and they were pacing Salford. And Salford did them in the last second, didn't they, again, with a try. The final try before we went to the kick that they missed, that was scored after the hooter. Salford were literally keeping the ball alive. And Mark Flanagan, an ex-Saint, how he put that 30-odd yard pass out to his winger, who hadn't had a chance at all. He'd had no space, but he got it. He didn't panic, and he scored. If you were being bitchy, you'd say, well, why didn't he get nearer to the posts? But the bottom line is, you get over there, you put it down. But it was absolutely fantastic.
We're not bitter.
Absolutely.
We're not bitter. Yeah, and we said...
Our fans are probably bitter.
Just tell me in a sentence, both of you, what is the future hold for Hull KR? Steve, we'll go for you first.
It's bright. They're staying full-time, so it's bright.
Okay, Dave.
they've just got to rebuild. They've just got to be a bit more patient, I suppose. But yeah, I agree. They're still there. They still exist.
Right. Hull KR fans, give us a shout. 01517 810 59. Get your views in. Right. Going to be joined by Mickey Hyam, a man who's played for both Warrington Wolves and Wigan Warriors. He's going to be on the phone with us very shortly. And we're going to look ahead to the first Utility Super League Grand Final this weekend next.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. Stylish bathroom suites at sensational prices.
It's Radio City Talk. It is Thursday afternoon, 4:46 across Merseyside. Rock Sport and Talk for Liverpool. I'm Connor Phillips and this is Full Time. Right, joined in the studio by Dave Parkinson and Steve Manning for In Touch as we discuss what's going to happen this weekend. We've already discussed the fact that Warrington blew away a St Helens side with a little bit of help from potentially referee mistake. Wigan Warriors, who are slightly affiliated with Steve Manning, who's in the studio with me at the moment, marching on into the final. They've overcome a Hull side that nobody expected to die off towards the tail end of the season, which means it's Warrington Wolves against the aforementioned Wigan Warriors in the Super League Grand Final this weekend. Gentlemen, I'm going to give you some names. They're going head-to-head this weekend. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. And then between now and 5 o'clock, I'll get your thoughts on the match as well. Right, let me see. Stephen Ratchford against Dan Sargenson. What do you reckon, lads? Dave, I'm going to come to you first.
I've always rated Stephen Ratchford. I think in particular he's very versatile, can be excellent with ball in hand. Sargenson's more renowned for his defensive attributes, I feel, but he can also attack. Given that both of those could be coming up against each other, I'd always name Stephen Ratchford as my fullback because I like my attacking play.
And neither of those players started the season as fullbacks, which is the interesting thing.
No, well, I mean, Stephen Ratchford, he can play anywhere. I'm sure if you give him a prop forward jumper, he'd do your job there as well, to be fair. But I think that's his true skill, the fact that he can play in any position. But yeah, I think he really has settled into that fullback role at Warrington. Although he's prone to a mistake or two, I think overall he still gets my nod because he just offers that little bit more class for me.
Steve, Sargenson, as we said, didn't start there at the start of the season, but Ratchford can create that little bit of magic. Do you think he's going to pip it for you this weekend?
Well, he's an underrated player. I hope he doesn't, but he's a Wigan playing for Warrington. And Dan Sargenson, I don't know if he broke his nose last week. He had them things up his nose, didn't he? He took some hell of a battering, but he is, like Dave said, he's a defensive fullback with a slight bit of flair. But if you look at, if you compare like for like, I would say that Ratchford's the better of the two.
Okay, Kurt Gidley against George Williams. We mentioned Kurt Gidley as being an absolute hero of the semi-final, specifically in and around the last 10 minutes or so. Steve, does that make you panic or does that make you happy?
I think Gidley's had a good season and it's like the master against the pretender, and that's not the word I'm thinking of.
Student.
Is it? That's the one. But George Williams got a big heart and he's got better and better as the season's gone on. You would fancy that Kurt Gidley have the big time experience. And for Warrington to win, they need him to perform for 80 minutes because he went off after 60 at Wembley and it all went wrong for them. George Williams, he's got nothing to hide and he's a Wiganer through and through, and I hope that he can get a winner's medal, whereas last year he picked up a runner-up.
Dave, this is the thing about finals, and we saw this specifically in the Challenge Cup final as well. It's not about the big names.
No, it isn't.
And the best thing about finals is we will often see a name that nobody expected. Houghton was a perfect example of this. Yeah. Yes, he's put in a lot of tackles.
He's a journeyman, but you wouldn't have expected what he did.
You wouldn't have put him in the bracket of Man of Steel just at the start of the season. That final, it just really emphasised his season, and this could be somebody completely different.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you kind of like, you look at both squads, and I mean, for me, someone like Ryan Sutton for Wigan is potentially a match winner in his own right, and he won't win any awards for what he puts in. But I tell you what, he is one of the best developing forwards that we've currently got in the British game. I rate him that highly.
Oh, he didn't get the Young Player of the Year is beyond me, but that's probably me being biased with my Wigan head on.
With your Wigan head on, my word, you have a Wigan head on. That's very unusual. Right, let's see, Chris Hill, Frank Paul Nuasala. What do you think, lads, head-to-head? Who's coming out on top in that one?
Well, I would say Chris Hill is a class act, and Frank Nuasala, the wrecking ball, has not wrecked many players yet. Yeah, I think next season he will, but not this season.
When he came into the side late into the season, you were very happy about him. You were very excited about him being in the British game at this level. Why has it not happened yet? Was it that little injury he had at the start, or what happened?
I think it's the injury. It came and he not played for a long time. He's got a massive reputation and he's got to learn the Wigan playbook. He's slowly getting there, but against Hull, he dropped the ball at crucial moments last week, and you can't afford to do that in a final. And Chris Hill,
it's been said, why did he not get a Man of Steel nomination? It's like James Robey. He just goes about it and everybody expects.
Right. Hoping to go using all the technology and all the assets I have in the world. I'm hoping that Mickey Higham is joining us on the line as we speak. Mickey, you're live on Radio City Talk. Are you there?
Good evening, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm not bad at all, my man. Good to talk to you again. Right.
Sorry about before.
No, you're not a problem. We were trying to get through to Mickey a couple of minutes ago and he was off doing some really star celebrity thing that only Mickey does. Mickey, you're a man who knows both these teams, haven't had some experience. We're just talking through the fact that we're putting people head-to-head. Chris Hill at the moment against the Wrecking Ball. Who comes out on top on that one?
I've got to pick my old teammate and my old travel partner, Chris Hill. I just think, obviously, you know, I think Wigan can use Frank Paul, you know, to their ability, you know, get him on, let him empty the tank, get him off, go again. But I think with Chris, just with his durability and his engine, he can do it. He can do it for long minutes. So, you know, I think Chris will be key to, if Chris Hill can get on the front foot, I think he'll be key to, like, Warrington playing well, like Daryl Clark going off the back of it, Gidley. So, I'm going to go for my mate, Chris.
So you've answered my next question just a couple of seconds ago. We asked about Gidley against George Williams. Who comes out on top?
Ooh, do you know what? That is a tough one. You'd think like Gidley's big game experience, but I really do like George Williams. I think he's a great player. I think he's just got that little bit of an X factor for Wigan that could make the difference. You know, on Saturday, like, Wigan play a pretty structured game, you know, to the game plan. But I think George, he likes to go off the page now and again, come up with something special. So, you know, it's a tough one to call that. You know, I don't like to call it.
Stephen Ratchford against Dan Sargentson. This was the other one we talked about a minute ago. And I'm sorry, I hate to put a professional rugby player under this sort of pressure, but I really don't care. You need to put your colours to the mast here.
Right, OK. Well, I think Mr Ratchford's going to come out on top, though.
By much?
No, not by much at all. You know, the two different styles of play. You know, Steph's probably a bit more skilled to his game, where Dan Sargentson's a bit, you know, a bit more robust, tough, you know, great tackles more. So it's a bit of an even contest, that, but in a different way, if you know what I mean. So, but, you know, I think, again, maybe Steph's skill and support player might come, you know, might just come up to it there.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm joined in the studio by Steve Manning, also by Dave Parkinson as well. On the phone, we have a man who's played for St Helens, Wigan, Warrington, and is now at Lee Centurions on his way to the big leagues next year. I understand, Mickey Higham, the two lads have a few questions for you ahead of this weekend's grand final, because you have experience playing for both sides. Steve?
Yeah,
very quickly, Mickey. Obviously, we had the £1 million game last year. There's been a lot of positives and negatives about it. I'm being biased. I'm glad that Salford have got there. But what are your brief thoughts on that £1 million game? And are you happy that it's Salford rather than OKR?
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, I am. You know, certainly for, obviously, us being the Lancashire side, this side of the Pennines, you know, I want to see Lancashire teams in. And, you know, I think it's good for Salford. You know, they've been a real, you know, rugby town for many, many years. And it's, you know, I'd hate to see that club go down the decline. So I'm made up for Salford. You know, some good lads there as well. You know, it's, hopefully they can build on this now.
Is that because you just don't want to travel next year? Are you just,
well,
just,
you know,
don't want to head the,
you know,
way
what,
down?
I didn't want to say it, but to go all once is enough in a year. Not twice, so.
What about your old mucker, just finally for me, Gareth O'Brien? What a drop goal, I met.
Well, yeah, you know, he's come under a bit of stick now and again this year, and I think Gareth's been a classy player. You know, big pressure on the kick, but to nail that drop kick from like 45 metres out, I don't think he could hit it any sweeter. He
Mickey,
probably won't do it again.
Quick question for you. Steve said the wind was behind it. What do you reckon?
No, I just think he nailed it.
Yes, that's what I thought as well. Dave Parkinson, as a question for you as well, as we head towards the big weekend. We've got about a minute or so left.
Yeah, so it's just basically, Mickey, how do you prepare for these sort of massive games? I'm just thinking from a professional point of view.
Yeah, do you know what? It is different. There's a different feel about it. You know, the week building up to it. You know, it's, you know, it's the holy grail, so to speak. And you know, you've got to. I think we're professional rugby players, so you know, we know the job. We do all the same preparation, your video, you know, your teamwork and stuff like that. But there's just that feel about it. You know, it's the final. It's that final push. You know, 80 minutes of, you know, your best rugby to give it your all. And you know, I've been on both sides. I've won and I've lost as well. So it's. I just think the tough thing is if that losing team that gets there, and it's like all the hard work all year to like losing a final, it's heartbreaking. But no, it's a great week. It's a great week to be involved in. You know, it's that pre-season when you're running up hills, when you're full of mud, getting up off the floor, wrestling with your mate, when you're knackered, and you know, when you feel like you can't run anymore. This is what it comes to at the end. You know, that's what it all, it's all worth in the end for these kind of games. So it's, no, it's very envious this week that I'm not there. You know, two of my old teams as well. So it's, you know, I'm going there watching, but it's a great week.
Just incidentally, very quickly, how was the little, how to put this, post-season party in Portugal with the Lee Centurions and the owners?
I wasn't going to ask that.
I'm going to ask him.
I'm glad we've only got about 20 seconds left. No, it was 2.5 days on the pop is enough.
Certainly, okay.
You know, it was, that was a great trip, and you know, one we'll remember for a long time. I'm not quite over it yet, but I'm getting there.
Always remember, folks, always pop responsibly. Right, lads, while you're in the studio, and Mickey, while you're on with me as well, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to ask you for a quick prediction. Mickey, I'm going to start with you.
Warrington by 8.
OK. Steve?
Wigan by 1. Matty Smith, drop goal. Last minute.
And Dave, what are you going for?
I'm going Warrington by 6.
Warrington by 6. Listen, just a heads up on that, right? I'm going to a charity event down at Old Trafford just before it. It's for the Steve Prescott Foundation. If anyone happens to be around at that, Old Trafford next door is the Old Trafford Supporters Club. It's in Hotel Football. Go down. It's £2 in. All the money's going to the charity. I'm going to be joined by the likes of Paul Wood, Neil Holding, Phil McKenzie, Andy Gregory, Paul Sculthorpe, MBE as well, and hope to see you lot down there as well. Listen, Mickey, go and enjoy your off-season. You deserve every single second of it, mate.
Thank you very much.
And it's been great having you on the show with us, and I know the boys want to say some kind words to you before you go.
Speak to you soon, Mickey. Thanks for getting in touch.
Will do. No problem. Speak soon. Cheers.
Absolute joy to have Mickey on, a man who knows what it's like to play for the Saints, for Wigan, and we wish him all the best with Lee Centurions this year as well. So it's been a great sort of couple of shows having him on. Dave, thank you very much for all your endeavour and coming back onto the show. It's been brilliant. Steve, and do you know what? I don't believe I'm going to say this. I wish you well as a Wigan fan this weekend.
As a rider, you want them to lose, don't you? Then you can take the stick next week.
I have not for one second paid this any thought apart from you as a human being. I wish you well as a sports fan.
So, you're being too nice.
Yeah, I know. I'm too nice. I am what they call a neutral broadcaster. Lads, listen, we will be back here next week. We're going to take all the incidents, everything that happens during the Super League Grand Final at the weekend, and we're going to pick through the bones bit by bit. Join us in touch back here at the same time next week, and I'm coming up next. We're going to be talking about one set of ruffians to potentially another. Joey Barton, anybody?
Full time with Connor Phillips, with the Heating and Bathroom Centre. New showroom now open at Derby Lane, Old Swan.